Welcome to Share Truth, Apply Scripture. I'm Jordan Chambly, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Cedrus Hart.
Hey, how's it going?
It's been a day, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, and the thing is you, like, last week was a, we did a best of, we didn't record because you were, like, gone or something?
Yeah, had family vacation, you know?
I mean, how dare you?
Yeah.
Took the kids to Dollywood?
It was kind of fun.
It was kind of fun?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never been to Dollywood.
I've been to
Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg, but I've never been to there.
It was unique. Now, I wouldn't go necessarily so far to say that, like, yeah, it's, you know, there isn't anything objectionable that, you know, a family wouldn't, you know, whatever. This is not an endorsement, I'm saying. But it was, there was a lot of Christian elements in Dollywood, because of the strong, you know, Southern gospel influence in Dolly Parton's life, it's baked into the theme park, and so pretty much anywhere you would go, you would hear a hymn being sung or something like that, and that was a pretty cool experience to be like, you know, we've been to other places, we've been to other entertainment venues and theme parks and stuff, and you know, by and large, they're all wholesome, but this one particularly, I knew it was like. It's okay for the kids to go out and experience most of this stuff. And it was a good time. We had a really good time as a family.
I will say, and people may think, oh, that's so done. Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg are so much fun. You can fight me on it. It is so much fun.
Yeah.
I went about a year ago.
Yeah.
That was the last time I've been. And, like, we did the aquarium.
We did the aquarium,
too. The aquarium is fun.
Yeah.
And especially if you got littles, I don't have any of my own, but like my sister's kids were there, and then her sister-in-law was with us with her little boy. And so it's like mostly a ladies trip, but everybody, you know, the ones that had kids brought their kids, and we took them to the aquarium and they were just like amazed.
It's a good aquarium. I will say going through the tunnel with the sharks was awesome.
Oh yeah. Well you get, and the thing is you can get on the thing and just kind of it like ride you along. Like you don't have to walk.
Yeah.
And it's just sharks all around you.
Yeah, that was really cool. And then shout out to the donut fryer over in the village section. That's like,
oh man,
we always stop by the donut fryer, homemade donuts there with some coffee. It's a good place to sort of get out of like the main crowd.
There's a donut place in Nashville that is my favorite, and I mentioned it to my friend before she went on a trip there recently. It was like a work trip, and she did not bring me a donut. And
goodness.
I was like, I don't know how I could live with this friendship anymore. You've
ultimate
broken
betrayal.
My heart.
Yeah.
And she was like, well, we didn't pass one. And I'm like, so you didn't go out and seek?
Yeah.
And she's like, well, I don't think there's any over there. I was like, I beg to differ. There's two locations in Nashville. One, like, and there's one in Franklin, which is right beside Nashville.
Yeah, no excuse at this point.
Yeah.
You told her.
I told her.
Oh, well.
You know what? People just sometimes they let you down.
Yeah.
Our own Bronson Woodruff in our American Family News today, he just came back from a trip and they stopped at Bucky's and he didn't get me a thing.
And there's a lot that's pretty good at Bucky's.
Now, I don't know why I thought he would get me a thing, anything.
Yeah. You just knew somebody went to Bucky's and you didn't get anything out of it.
I know. I got to give some tours today to some people coming through and it was a lot of fun. And so, like, I had to bother him and I was like, hey, guys, he went to Bucky's and he didn't bring me anything back. And he's like, and Bronson's like, could you stop? And I'm like, it's like, no, I won't. You didn't bring me any beaver nuggets and that's what I want. Those are the best.
Oh, man, there's nothing like road trip food, honestly. Yeah. But anyway, so...
That's not today's topic.
Yeah,
we can move on.
Donuts and beaver nuggets aside. we're going to talk about kind of evangelism today.
Kind of evangelism.
It's definitely around that topic. And you mentioned, you know, given the tours and stuff. And, you know, evangelism is something that AFA... engages in constantly, whether that's directly, you know, proclaiming the gospel over the internet and over the radio, or even as partners to other ministries who are doing the same thing. I'm thinking about the Truth for Youth Bible.
Oh, absolutely,
probably the main example.
Our friends
there.
At 8 Days of Hope.
Yes,
that is a big one, and and like we've been supporting them since they launched.
Yeah.
They launched after Hurricane Katrina in 2005, and now they are ready, like, they're boots on the ground when any kind of natural disaster comes through, and, you know, and We mm-hmm. continue to push them too. And that is a big, you know, because not everybody they help are Christian.
Right.
They're just people in need. Mm-hmm. And then they see all these people with, you know, and it is a Christian ministry
yeah.
on, you know, boots on the ground, helping them build their home. And it's like, why would you come do this? You
yeah,
know?
Absolutely. And it's certainly one of the best witnesses where the world can see a Christian's actions matching their words. You know, it's, mm-hmm. it's one thing, and in our culture, most people have heard something
yeah.
about the Bible. Definitely not everybody, and certainly not in depth or have a right understanding, but the name Jesus gets around. You know,
yeah.
people know who you're talking about when you say Jesus. They have an idea.
And here where we're at, mm-hmm. there's
yeah.
churches on every corner. If you go down our Main Street area,
yeah.
there's like a little block where mm-hmm. there's like, it's different denominations, but there's just like,
yeah, it's everywhere.
Lots of churches everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, it's very much baked into our culture. And so, like, there words are everywhere. You know, mm-hmm. the right words hopefully are, you know, pretty much permeating our culture in a lot of ways. But what makes them very powerful is when they are paired with actions.
Yeah.
And in fact, the Apostle James says, faith without works is dead. Not that
yeah.
your works earn salvation, but that your works give life to the faith that you profess.
Mm-hmm.
When the people can see that what you are doing, you know, bears witness to the things that you say, so that like, oh, you actually believe this. This is actually
yeah.
having some impact in your life. You're not just like me, but saying different words.
The word outreach
yeah.
is what keeps flashing in my mind.
Mm.
There are so many ways for you
yeah.
to be able to do this. And that is the, you know, around here we have our guys that do Men of Honor,
mm-hmm.
things like that, like for young men, young boys who, you know, and they teach them life skills, give them Bible lessons, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think there's so many churches, though, that don't do any form of outreach.
Yeah.
They do events at their church
mm-hmm.
that's meant for, you know, and they bring in their church, and they bring in, like, their sister churches and
yeah,
friends'
yeah.
churches and stuff. But they don't
yeah.
go. The thing is we're called to go out.
Exactly.
And instead, which is not, this is not bad.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's A-okay to invite your friend to church.
Mm-hmm.
That's good, but we've relied so much on that.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have just this flood of people
mm.
who are not believers,
mm-hmm.
and they're the ones taking up post in the church.
Yeah.
They come in, and some of them just like the sense of community enough
mm-hmm.
that they become super involved
yeah.
without that actual change of heart.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have them, and then they start to run things, and then they start dictating, like, what is being said in our churches.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think this is not anti-invite your friend to church day.
Certainly, yeah.
Please, mm-hmm. like, do not be afraid. Like, if that is some way you can get your friend into church, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it's time for us to step outside the doors.
It certainly is. And I think that, you know, one of the, I mean, there's many ways that you can do it. You mentioned giving tours recently, or today, as of this recording.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those people who've come by, we had a big group today.
Yeah.
A lot of them were our supporters of AFA. And that is one way that somebody can, you know, step outside the circle. Now, that's probably one of the easier ways
yeah.
for a lot of people is to, you know, go to AFA.net or AFA.net.
We had several new supporters, too, that had heard
amazing.
From their friend.
Yeah.
And this was their first time being, like, really introduced to
yeah.
AFA and what it is. Like, and
yeah.
so, yeah.
And so, you know, I've been very encouraged and even just kind of amazed at the far-reaching effects that AFA actually has. We'll have people from other countries even, countries in Africa, India even, come and talk about the work that they're doing, and they'll connect it back to the work that we're doing here if we had some sort of influence or we helped them along
yeah.
the way in some way. I'm like, there's a lot of threads that AFA has been involved in,
mm-hmm.
Even globally, and couldn't have done that, obviously, without our supporters. We're a nonprofit ministry. We rely on people who listen to the radio or hear about us through the magazine or whatever to give that gift, that once a year, once a month gift, and support us in that work. So obviously, we're very, very,
very thankful,
grateful,
yeah.
very grateful for all of you guys out there who do that.
And I would like to just go ahead and put it in there. Anybody can give.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to AFA.net, There are ways to give. And let me say, if you don't have that money, mm-hmm. if it's gonna put you in a financial bind, yeah. we don't want you to. No, we no, don't no. want you to donate. Mm-hmm. We don't want you to donate. At that point, maybe when you're in a better place, you mm-hmm. can think about it. But if you're going to, do not put yourself in a financial bind.
Yeah, absolutely.
We greatly appreciate you wanting to. But if you can't give financially, we also greatly appreciate your prayers.
Yeah. And also prayer, speaking of prayer, let's not downplay the power of that. Mm-hmm. We can talk about, you know, financial donations all day long, but without prayer, really all of this is kind of pointless.
Yeah.
I really believe that the power that stands behind ministries like ours, like mm-hmm. AFA, comes from people who pray, and that's yeah. people who work here and people who don't. And so absolutely, please yeah. be praying for us.
It's a chain. There's a chain reaction mm-hmm. here. You, the listener, you give your time, your money, your prayer
yeah.
to us.
Yeah.
And with that, we can continue to mm-hmm. do what we're doing, not just do what we're doing, but then also support and mm-hmm. uplift the other ministries, like the ones that we mentioned, the
Absolutely.
8 Days of Hope, the Truth Youth Bible. We always have some people come through for the Samaritan's Purse, for the mm-hmm. For the Operation Christmas Child. I mean, we're able to do that because yeah. of what you do. Like, we couldn't do it without you.
Absolutely. And praying is very important. I think one of the things when it comes to evangelism that's also really important to remember is that, you know, when you look at the call to evangelize people, the call to share the gospel with people in the Bible, one of the things that Jesus tells us in the Great Commission is, "Lo, I am with you always." And so right after this command to go into the world, make disciples, spread the gospel, tell everybody about the good news of salvation, he makes this declaration that I'm going to be with you all through this. Mm-hmm. And that's really the key there, is that no matter how much work we do, no matter how much money we throw at a problem, if God is not a part of that process— mm-hmm. then it is going to be fruitless. And that's yeah. the great thing about evangelism, is that God is central mm-hmm. to that process. He is there working right beside us.
Just a little note, and this is something that is important to say, I feel, is that evangelism is not just like, it's not a one little moment.
Yeah.
It can take a long time with one person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now sometimes all you have, like with somebody, you may just have that little moment. They're stuck on an airplane, so
yeah.
they can't get away.
Yeah.
No, but or like just someone, like there are people like street evangelists out mm-hmm. there that I appreciate their willingness to go out there and speak to people, knowing that they're going to be laughed yeah. at and everything else.
Yeah.
And all that, but then they're most of the time, those people that you're trying to evangelize, it's a process. It is building a relationship, mm-hmm. letting them like really get to know you, because yeah. some of them aren't ready to jump in.
No,
For whatever reason, they've had some sort of trauma in their life, and they don't, mm-hmm. and they can't get past it or whatever. But sometimes it takes a while, and please do not give up.
Absolutely, I think part of this too, when we're talking about evangelism, remembering that God is with us through that process and having that confidence in His power to break through to a soul. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes when we get into those positions, a lot of that nervousness, well, for one, comes from the fact that you're going to be talking about a very
yeah.
powerful and sensitive subject to somebody you may not know very well.
And I think just human nature, we desire yeah. for people to like us.
Yeah.
And talking about Jesus is not going to make you friends in a lot of places.
It can be a quick way to get people to not like
yeah.
you, in fact. And that's okay. And that's the cost. But alongside that, it can come from our, what if I say something wrong? What if I
yeah.
don't get through to this person? And we have to remember that, look, you're the messenger, right?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't write the message. This mm-hmm. isn't your salvation that you're offering to somebody. This is something else. You actually don't have anything to offer this person. All you have is the good message that God has given to all humans and has commanded you to go out and preach to other people. And so we have to do that in the confidence that God will do the work.
Yeah.
So we deliver the gospel, and in that moment, God will open this person's ears. We'll speak to this person in a way that we could never. We don't know who this person is. We don't know what they've been through in their life, what mm-hmm. trauma they may have gone through, maybe past experiences with Christians in the church that have turned them sour. We don't know any of that context, maybe, and we certainly wouldn't have the wisdom necessarily to engage with that. But the great thing is that it's okay if we don't have that. Mm-hmm. God does. And evangelizing, I think, in a lot of ways, is surrender.
Yeah.
We have to surrender to the one who can communicate far better than we can in that process. Now, it doesn't mean that the words you say aren't important. We mm-hmm. want to rightly preach the gospel. We want to represent God the right way. But our confidence is not in our delivery.
Yeah.
Our confidence is in God.
I hope so, because I don't know what I'm talking about half the time.
Yeah.
And I stumble over my words and I mix things up. And mm-hmm. and so I think a lot of the time, I don't even know what I'm saying. It just all comes from the scripture that God has given
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I really appreciate my mom having me in a church that valued scripture memory, because there's still to this day things that I learned as a child that mm-hmm. was drilled into me. And in moments when I'm talking to people, that scripture just comes to my, it just comes to my mind. And in that moment, you know, obviously not my words.
Yeah.
Not my words. All I can say is, in this book, this is what, you know, what we're told in mm-hmm. this chapter and verse. And it's like, it's they're like those little verses that were drilled into my head as a kid. It's like little sleeper agents. Yeah. When they wake up when I'm talking to somebody sometimes.
That's absolutely true. That's exactly what it's like. That's exactly what it's like. And also, when we do this, I think our motives are important. No. Now, they're not all important. Obviously, you don't need to wait until you have everything right in your brain before you go and obey God. That would be disobedience.
Yeah.
But in the process, you can pray and ask God, Lord, I'm going to share the gospel with my friend or my neighbor or this person that I met. Please help me have love for them.
Yeah.
And help me do this out of love for you, not out of necessarily just a sense of duty or this is some sort of spiritual chore that I have to do to be a good person. But out of genuine love for God and out of genuine love for that person, not any sort of hostility or threat of like, if you don't do this, then, blah, you know, this is a message from a loving God to someone who really needs it. It's a message of mercy and grace. And that's, we need to be able to pray for that kind of heart.
I've heard it from people that they have the mentality of, I have to get these people saved.
Mm.
You cannot get Mm-mm. those people. You have no power.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
You have words, and you have, you know, God speaks to you.
Mm-hmm.
You have those words that he gives you and things like that. But ultimately, you cannot save anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these people that you encounter, you're not going to see the fruit of your work.
Yeah.
You have to be okay with that. It's hard because granted, when I'm talking to somebody and if I'm looking at them like they are like a soul lost, bound for hell,
mm-hmm.
it can be hard to just let go.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes that's all you can do. Mm-hmm. And like, you have planted whatever seed and somebody else is going to come along and water it. And mm-hmm. somebody else is going to come along and do the, mm-hmm. you know, and that, as long as you are willing and able to step out there and do your part, that's all you can do.
Exactly. And you just referenced the verse. Paul.
I did it on purpose.
Yeah, I know you did. You set it up right there. Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 8. Now, in this situation, there was some... Now, I'm not a biblical scholar or historian, so there's context to this. There was arguments within the church of, I mean, kind of like there is today, arguments over doctrine, arguments over theology. Not necessarily primary stuff, mm-hmm. but some things that were important. And there were Christians who were saying, oh, I follow the teachings of Paul, you know, and somewhere over here would be like, well, actually, I kind of like Apollos better. He's a kind of a better speaker, and I like listening to him. Sounds very, very similar to things that you could hear in today's church.
I prefer this preacher.
And you know what? That's fine. But Paul interjects into this, and he says, who then is Paul, and who then is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. There's a lot of stuff in that verse.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff in this passage about just the attitude of evangelism. Neither he who plants is anything or he who waters. So we are the ones who plant. We are the ones who water.
Yeah. I know there are people to this day that I've spoken to years ago, mm-hmm. and I still think about them. Mm-hmm. I think about a guy that I had an internet Facebook conversation with. I don't know. I didn't know this man from Adam. I didn't know him at all. It was just, I saw, as I say, if whatever you're typing, stop, think, pray.
Yeah.
But people weren't doing that. And it was just a whole big conversation about how marriage is supposed to be one man, one woman, as we believe. Mm-hmm. But I was seeing some people there who were coming out and stating that they were Christians, and they were so hateful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They were not coming out of love, they weren't trying to evangelize. They were just wanting to be right.
Yes.
So I'd made one comment. I was like, this is what I believe. This is why I believe it. I love you all. And some guy came into my comments. Mm-hmm. I mean, or he came into my, he messaged me directly and started a conversation. And then just every time it was, and I could feel the anger coming through, you know. And I just kept talking to him, and I talked to him, messaging for days, for full week, for a week and a half at least, back and forth. And like halfway through, I know like his anger turned to like real questions. And I don't know. He said, I'm going to end it here because I don't feel like, I've wasted enough of your time and stuff, you know, like, and I was like, I thought that was big that he worried about wasting my time, being that before he did not care, you know, but I still think about that guy all the time. I don't know him. I don't know his story. I don't know if he ever had a change of heart.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that, you know, that a seed was planted, that it found fertile soil and grew. I don't know. And sometimes, and there's going to be so many of those stories in your life. Mm-hmm. If you go out and evangelize the way you're supposed to, there's going to be a lot of people, and you're going to go, I wonder about that person.
Yeah. And I think that approach right there that you just described of, you know, calmly and gracefully and lovingly just stating the truth. Now, you can't make them feel like it's loving, but you can.
Even if you are being loving,
they can interpret
a lot of people,
anyway.
As you know, it is also human nature to want to be right.
Yes, yeah.
And if they don't agree with you and you don't back down, they're not. And sometimes the anger comes out, I think, when people know they're wrong. Mm-hmm. Deep down in your heart.
Yeah.
God puts that little bit of conscience in everybody that they know.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know right from wrong sometimes, and it can anger you. Mm-hmm. Because you just, I mean, like, you want to live the way you want to live.
Mm-hmm. And we can do that, too.
As
Christians, we can do that when we're in those conversations. And we have our beliefs. And we know that they're right.
And when they don't back down, we feel that.
And it can feel like a personal offense. And that's the problem. Because when Paul says, neither he who plants or waters, they're nothing. They're no one in this. It's God.
Yeah.
This is not a personal offense against you. Their anger really isn't against you. Their mistake or their error is not against you. Mm-hmm. This is not your truth. You don't have ownership over this righteousness. This belongs to Christ. And he doesn't really need you to defend him. If you fall, he's okay, you know? We need to humbly present the gospel.
Yeah.
We are messengers of the king. We're not the king. And any insults that they may hurl at us, obviously we have human nature. They will affect us, but we can take that to God and he can help us deal with it.
We don't need to
take it back to them.
You can't. You may not be able to control your feelings 100%, but you can control your actions.
We can. And we are called to be different. If we go into the world And we say we have this beautiful message of hope and everlasting life from the God of the universe. And we are different. We're set apart.
You have to die. Yeah. Basically, like that old you has got to be gone.
Yeah, because if you have that message in your mouth and you go out there and at the first little hint of confrontation or pushback or even just, you know, they don't care about the gospel, and then all of a sudden you just start acting just like them. You start acting just like the thing you're preaching against. Yeah. It sucks all the power out
of
the gospel.
If your actions get amens from the people that already agree with you, but doesn't change any other hearts, then you might want to reevaluate.
Yeah, exactly. So we need to make sure that our words and our actions are matching, and that both of those are matching the words and actions of Jesus. And how do we do that? We spend time in the Bible.
Absolutely.
And we spend time in the Word, and we spend time with other Christians, edifying each other and sharpening each other. And keeping each other accountable. We have to spend time in those means of grace so that we are conformed to the pattern of Christ.
Yeah. Well, I know that we are running low on time, so I just want to remind everybody that if you want to know more about what we're doing here at the American Family Association, you can go to afa.net, and that'll direct you to all the different departments and things that we do. We have a news department that is putting out news all day, every day. Of course, the Stand magazine, which is a print magazine online blog that Jordan, of course, writes and is a part of. And then, of course, radio. And that's just three facets. We all got all kinds of stuff. So please go there and check it out.
All right, guys. And until next week, continue to share truth and apply scripture.